We are in Exodus chapter 4, verses 29 and following, and the setting is this, that Moses and Aaron are going to the elders of Israel, and then they are going before Pharaoh, and this is the reading. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the people of Israel. Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. When they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshipped. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go." May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. I love that movie clip from that classic, The Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston, good old days there. This morning we are continuing the series on Moses, Follow the Fire, and this morning we're looking at taking a stand. And first I want to start with something a little humorous. I heard about this Sunday school teacher who is asking her students some questions after she'd just done a series on God's power and God's omnipotence. And so she asked, "Is there anything that God can't do?" No one moved for a moment, and then suddenly this little boy raised his hand and began waving it, and the teacher was a little disappointed. She thought maybe he missed the whole point of the lesson, and she said, "Well, what do you think it is that God can't do?" And the little boy replied, "He can't please everybody." Well, it's true, isn't it? And God isn't there to please everybody, and sometimes we need to take a stand. And this morning, we're looking at taking a stand for what is right. And to recap briefly, Moses has spent the first 40 years of his life in the household of Pharaoh, being raised as a grandson of Pharaoh with power and privilege. He's also secretly been tutored by his mother as a brother to the slaves, as a Hebrew, and knows about the Hebrew God. And then one day he sees an Egyptian and a Hebrew fighting, and he intervenes and kills the Egyptian and buries his body in the sand. But word got out. In fact, word got to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh sought to kill Moses. Moses had to flee across the desert, and Moses spent the next 40 years of his life as a shepherd in the household of Jethro on the backside of the desert. He married Jethro's daughter Zipporah. He had children. But you can only imagine what it was like for Moses to spend 40 years in the backside of the desert. Then one day Moses saw a bush that was burning, and it didn't burn up, and so Moses drew closer, and from that burning bush, God spoke to Moses and called Moses to go and to demand before Pharaoh that he let God's people go. Now, Moses was reluctant at first. I mean, wouldn't you and I be reluctant as well? But God promises his power and presence, and finally Moses agrees to do so along with Aaron. And so in this morning's reading, they go before the leaders of Israel, and you can only imagine that they were happy to hear that God had now led Moses to come and to speak to Pharaoh and to demand that people be let go and set free from the oppression and slavery and injustice. And it reminds us that God calls us into places of power and privilege sometimes to speak his word of truth. Now, I just want to give you a historical footnote because many people ask me, you know, which Pharaoh is this in history? And the answer is we're not sure. There's two really good candidates. In the first, in the 15th century, there's a Pharaoh by the name of Amenhotep II. And then in the 13th century, there's a Pharaoh by the name of Ramses II. Now, Hollywood picked Ramses II. That was a Pharaoh at that time. Now, there's a couple reasons for that. The first is that in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1, it says that 480 years after Israel left Egypt, Solomon began work on the temple, and that was in 967 BC. Now, that leans towards the 15th century date for the Exodus. Some folks say, well, that 480 years is more like 12 times 40, which is sort of schematic, and people really, the generation is more like 25 years since they overlap, so it might not have been that long, and so that sort of leans towards that 13th century date for the Exodus. And then other people say, well, no, you know, the use of the word city of Ramses is actually sort of a later note to a city that was rebuilt a number of times that had an earlier name of Rawarti and Avaris. So you take your pick. There's other reasons. I keep going back and forth on that, but there's two really good dates. It's interesting, though, that Amenhotep II, we know that his eldest son died early in life. So that may fit something. There's some other pieces that seem to go together. But in any case, so Moses and Aaron go before the elders of Israel, and they tell them that God has called them to go before Pharaoh and have Pharaoh let God's people go. Now, the Israelites are overwhelmed by that. I think it's a wonderful thing. Moses goes before Pharaoh. I can only imagine what that's like, because we know something about the opulence and wonder and power and privilege of this time in Egypt. There's pictures of some of the architectural wonders. We know some of that beautiful gold mask from King Tut's era. It's just unbelievable. And so Moses goes before Pharaoh and he says this, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go." Now, in your own life, have you ever done the right thing and the wrong thing seemed to happen? I mean, you were sure that it was the right thing, but then the wrong thing just seemed to happen. You just thought, well, I don't understand this at all. And the truth is, in our own lives, you know, God doesn't always say that things will go well with us if we do what's right. In fact, if you look throughout the Bible, there's a number of times where you see that people did the right thing and it seemed like the wrong thing happened. But God worked through it nonetheless. And I think that's an encouragement as we look at Moses' life, we see that that's exactly the case. And so Moses went before Pharaoh and he demanded that Pharaoh do the right thing, which was to release the people from slavery, oppression, and evil, and to let them go. And it reminds me of that verse that Carol read, which is from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. "What does the Lord require of you but to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God?" You know, that requirement hasn't changed in all of history. And so Moses stood for what is right, and some difficult things happened. It reminds us, too, that there's a lot of work yet to be done. I was reading this week that there's between 20 and 30 million people in human trafficking today. Slavery is still is actually stronger today than it's ever been, and more than 80% of human slaves are female, and more than half of the slaves are children. Now, can you imagine that in our world today? Now, you might not have occasion to step up and to stand for what's right there, but all of us have a chance to stand for what's right in our office, in our home, and if you're a young person in school, you have the obligation, I think, to stand up against bullies and to things that are wrong. And so all of us, maybe even a small way, can stand up for what's right. So Moses was willing to take a stand. He was willing to confront the people and the powers, in this case, Pharaoh. But things went from bad to worse. Have you ever had that happen? I mean, not only were things bad, not only did Pharaoh say, "I'm not going to let the people go," but things transpired from that. And so this is what it says as we continue the story in chapter 5. "Then they, Moses and Aaron, said to Pharaoh, 'The God of Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword.' But the king of Egypt said to them, 'Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your burdens.' And Pharaoh said, 'Behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens.'" He goes on, after they left, he tells his people that are in charge of the slaves, he tells them, not only do they have to make the bricks that they work so hard to make all these monuments, but now they have to go get their own straw. And they're not changing the quota. So as the people come to work the next day, they find out that they have to not only make all those bricks as they usually do, but they have to run out and get the straw. Of course, they didn't make their quota, and the Egyptian slave masters beat them and whipped them. And so the heads of the Israelites go to Pharaoh and plead mercy and ask him what's wrong. And Pharaoh tells them, because Moses has come to them and asked the people be set free, he's going to double their workload. So these leaders come to Moses, and it says this, "When the Israelite foremen left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, 'May the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hands to kill us.'" Wow. Now, can you imagine what Moses and Aaron thought? So Moses has been called by God. He goes before Pharaoh reluctantly, but feels God's presence and promise will be with him. And he finds out that not only are things bad, they're even worse than they were before. And in our own hearts and lives, you know, there's times I think when we take a stand and things just don't go the way we'd like them to. Do you know what I'm saying? But the truth is, God calls us to take a stand for what is right, regardless of the circumstances and regardless of the outcome. Now, as it happens, the taskmasters go to the Israelite leaders and the leaders go to Moses and Aaron. And what does Moses do? Well, Moses goes before the Lord and he offers his heart to God. And this is what it says. So Moses went to God in prayer. "Why, Lord, have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued this people at all. Wow. And you know, the nice thing about that is Moses is honest with God. And I think God has big enough shoulders for us to be honest with God. So Moses goes before the Lord, and he lays out his case. Just oftentimes you look in the Psalms, and you hear the psalmist say, "How long, O Lord, how long?" And I think sometimes we look around our world today, and we see some of the evil and injustice and oppression, and we too say, "How long, O Lord, how long?" But this is what the Lord said to Moses. It says this in chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of the country." You know, things don't always work according to our timetable, and things aren't always as easy as we would like them to be. But rest assured, when we stand for what is right, that God is at work in our world. And sometimes it's a lot slower than we realize, but you and I are called to take a stand. And this is what Abraham Lincoln said. I like this. He said, "Be sure you put your feet in the right place and then stand firm." Be sure you put your feet in the right place and then stand firm. Now, God tells us what is right. And I think sometimes in our own lives, when we stand up for what is right and we have the courage to do that, then things don't always take place exactly in our timetable. But God is at work, and we're part of the picture. We're part of the puzzle. And there's a few things I think that we need to remember. And the first thing is that God's word stands true. And when we stand with God's word, then we can be rest assured that we're on the right side of history. It may not happen on our timetable, but over time, the Lord's word will prevail, and we know that we're standing for what is right. Bonhoeffer said this. He said, "Things do exist that are worth standing up for without compromise. To me, it seems that peace and social justice are such things, as is Christ himself." And you know, you and I need to stand up for God's word and for Christ and the good news of God to the world all around us. And things don't always go our way, but know that we're standing on the right side of history. And it says this in Galatians 6:7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap." So we need to stand with God's word, and then we need to trust God's wisdom. And you know, God doesn't work exactly the way that you and I would like God to work. In fact, I think God often is working for patience in our lives. And I've learned to stop asking for patience. I used to pray for patience. And when you pray that prayer, God always answers it, but not in the way that you would like. You always have to wait for whatever prayer it is that you're waiting for. And so someone has once said this, and I love this. It says, "Waiting time is not wasting time." And you know, that time that we're waiting for God to answer prayers for our lives and the lives of someone else, that God is using that to mold and make us in ways that we wouldn't be molded and made in other ways. We have to learn to trust God, and trusting God and having faith in God, especially when times are difficult and difficulties are all around us, is one of the most difficult issues in life. Now, that doesn't matter whether it's a global issue, a local issue, or our own personal issue, because we all wrestle with personal issues, but God's wisdom is something that we have to learn to trust along with God's word. And then finally, that God is working. And you know, many times God is working in ways that we would never understand, but we can trust and believe that God is working. And one of the Psalms that I love, there's a promise in Psalm 27, 13, and 14. And this is the way the New King James Version translates it. And I love this. It says this, "I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord." It's a beautiful promise. Let me read that again. "I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord." Psalm 27, 13 and 14. You know, there's a lot more waiting in this world than we would like, but God is at work, and we can trust that God is at work. I'm reminded that over the last week, we celebrated the birth of Martin Luther King Jr., and he had some great sayings as well as some of the good work that he did. And he said this, "All that is necessary for evil to prevail is for ordinary people to do nothing." And he also said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that." You and I are called to stand for what is right, and we know that Whether it's in a larger platform of the stage of history or just in our local place of business and schools and wherever we work, farm or factory or hospital or wherever we are, that God is at work. But sometimes you and I are called to do things, and if we trust God, then God can do amazing things. As we go on this journey with Moses, we're going to see that God uses Moses in amazing ways, not because of how great Moses is, but because how great God is. And you and I, too, is not how great we are, but how great God is. I want to close with this true story, which I love. And Mary Bethune Cookman was an African-American woman in the 19th century, and she felt strongly about the need for African-Americans and women to be able to be educated just like everyone else. And she had a dream. She had a vision. She had a goal to form a college. And the only place that she could do that was on a city dump in Daytona Beach. But today, Mary Bethune Cookman College stands there as a testimony to her willingness to stand for what was right and take a step of faith. And over time, it didn't happen instantly, but it happened over time, and today that college is there. You and I sometimes are called to do great things in small steps, but the most important thing is to stand for what is right and then to take steps along the way and to trust God, because God is at work with us. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we look at Moses, this great life of faith, who was slowly molded and fashioned over time, Lord, help us to draw insight and inspiration from him. We know as we look at the passage this morning that Moses, even if he was reluctant, was willing to stand for what was right. And over time, you intervened, but in the midst, there were some things that seemed to go wrong. But the truth is, you were at work in all that time. So help us to trust you as we stand for what is right. Help us to trust you that your work in the world and across the country, in our community, and in our own lives, knowing that you and your word will prevail. In the name of Christ our Lord, and all God's people said, amen.